The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Welcome to Radio Labyrinth Presents Interviews. We have two special guests who've both been on the show before, but this is the first time, I believe, on video we've had both of you, right?
Just Waco last time when we were talking Paradise PD.
If you're an Atlanta native, or if you went to UGA and when, the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, these guys as the creators and hosts of the Damn Show and performers in the Damn Show. And also Paradise PD, Brickleberry, and now a brand new animated show on Netflix called Farzar. Please welcome our guests this week, Waco O'Gwin and Roger Black. Guys, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. You guys have another animated show. This is what makes four?
Three animated, one, you know, Stankervision was sketch, but it had some animated bits in it.
Right. The koala.
They had the koala, which, if you can call that animation,
it's so funny.
I was doing it in like Photoshop. I was trying to figure out how to. That was the MTV 2 budget.
Yeah,
we had no line item for animation. And basically, I had to do most of it, and it looked like shit. But it did the job, I guess.
You guys look great. Where are you both located now?
We're both in Burbank. Roger's on the bike path down there. Got a nice place down there.
You know you've made it when you live in front of a bike path.
Well, if you're in Atlanta and you live near the Beltline, then you can, you know, go out and have your avocado toast and get robbed.
That's like a good day.
Yeah. So tell us about Farzar. We watched the trailer. The trailer was hilarious. So
thank you.
I'm expecting that the show will be hilarious. Where did this come from? And
we were talking to Netflix about Farzar before Paradise even came, before Paradise even existed. Like, this was a show we wanted to do after Brickleberry. Mm-hmm. But it looked like it was getting somewhere, and then, you know, it fell apart. Some executive decided they didn't like space or didn't think sci-fi was worthwhile or whatever. So then we came up with Paradise. So this has just been sitting there, and it was a much, much different version of the show. Basically, we just took a bunch of stuff from the original Farzar and put into Paradise, like Hops. And there was like a version of Hops, and then there was a version of Bullet in the original Farzar. But then we did Paradise, and we didn't think Farzar would ever, anybody ever see it or hear about it, you know? So they started asking for another show, and that's when we started thinking about it again. We always wanted to do, you know, sci-fi. Rogers is huge into sci-fi.
Way too much.
Star Wars guy.
Yeah. Way too much.
Yeah.
But for animation, you know, sci-fi is just great because there's way less rules you feel like you have to follow. Not that we had a lot of rules in Paradise, but it was easier to come up with ideas for this show, for episodic ideas and stuff.
And it must be that they have more money for an animated budget than they would for anything else these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's much easier to draw than do a ton of CGI and, you know, costumes and set design, everything. You know, you just draw it. You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
That's the same animated style as the last two shows. So where did you guys come up with that?
I mean, that was back in Brickleberry. You know, right. We were just trying to get something that, if you saw a character, you would know it was ours. So, you know, we just try to tweak everything and have a consistent look throughout the characters. So, you know, like a three in their ear and the eyes separated and smaller eyes and the mouth not moving off the face. you know, just things. Hopefully when someone sees a character from any one of our shows, they know it's our stuff.
Has made the joke in the trailer about, you know, this is not Futurama, this is not Rick and Morty. Yeah, was that something you guys were concerned about? I mean, is getting into this territory?
I mean, that's what I can remember when the Tom Green show came out, people were comparing it to like Jackass or something, or maybe it was vice versa. I can't remember which came out first, but you don't even have to be similar. And that's how the human brain works. They got to go, it's like blank every time. Anytime anything comes out, anytime our stuff comes out, it's like blank, especially when they just see the trailer. So we just like to say what they're about to say right before they say it. So hopefully they feel really stupid, because of course that's what everybody, and people, it didn't stop people from saying it either. But yeah, but the joke was, a little kid was like, is this like Futurama, Rick and Morty, which we knew that was the two things we were going to get. And, you know, comparing our stuff to Rick and Morty is kind of crazy. Brickleberry came out before Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And not every sci-fi our show is nothing like, it does have sci-fi elements like that, but it's not. It's one of our shows. Is, if you want to compare it to anything, compare it to Brickleberry and Paradise PD, because that's what it's like. You know, our humor is not like Rick and Morty, which is the fine show, but no, it's not. Aside from the, you know, sci-fi elements, not like either show really.
It's pretty cool that you guys have created your own type of look and your own different universes for your animated shows. And how big do you have, like, as far as a fan base goes? Are people really loyal to what you do?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole reason we even got to be on Netflix, because those Brickleberry maniacs, they were like demanding, they were finding the addresses to the executives' houses and demanding that they bring Brickleberry to Netflix. And it almost happened, but they decided they'd rather have a show they can own, mm-hmm. you know, because when Brickleberry hit Netflix, it was really way bigger than it ever was on Comedy Central.
Seems like Comedy Central would be a little tougher to negotiate with or deal with. Sort of like Adult Swim, big corporation behind them.
Fox bought the show. They were the studio. And then Comedy Central was the network that mm-hmm. it aired on. So we had two kind of studios that we would have to answer to.
Right.
And you have to Netflix would have to license it through Fox, and there was this kind of war going on between those for a while, you know, just like any other networks and studios, you know.
Did your deal leave it open to where you could do more Brickleberry if you decided to do a movie or something someday?
No, they don't. They won't let us do anything. I can't even go to the library and check out a book. for 3 years, they own us. They tell us what you know. I don't think we can even act, or not that anybody wants us to, or do voices or anything on any other shows until the overall deal's up. Because we were talking to Comedy Central about Brickleberry before this deal with Netflix came through. But once that happened, there was no chance, which is fine. We love working with Netflix, and they've been really good to us. So we still like to do Brickleberry again one day. They bring back a lot of stuff. I mean, a cartoon can always come back. But no, we'd love to do more Brickleberry if we got a chance. If once we're done with Netflix, you know, hopefully we have a long relationship with them. But
now you both are doing voices in Farzar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do one voice in all three shows. Come on, Roger does a lot of different stuff.
The Southern voice, is that Bobby Possum Cods?
Yeah, it was Bobby, Robbie, and now Farzar, his name is Flobby.
Okay.
I know that sounds like a joke, but it's true.
It's true, yes.
Every single time, and I think I brought this up a couple weeks ago on the radio show, because Eric Von Hessler is a NASCAR fan. Anytime someone mentions Dale Earnhardt, I always say, either out loud or in my head, I caught me a legend.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, that's going way back.
Should tell you how many times
remembers that.
I got high in 2000 and 2002 and watched those DVDs and took them with me everywhere I visited and said, you guys got to watch this.
It's a different world now.
Oh yeah.
And we had nothing to lose back then, you know, but it was fun, you know. We go back and we watch the old stuff, and yeah. crack up at most of it.
It's just funny stuff. So I'm glad I have those DVDs so someday I can transfer them to digital and show them to my son. He's too young. He's only 14 months. So
yeah, hang on to them because those might be the last ones in existence.
I heard Lance Reddick and Dana Snyder in the trailer. Who else is voiced in this?
Kari Walgreen, Carlos Alazraki, David Kaye, who was just in Eternals. We had a guy from Eternals in our show, which is insane. But they're all great. Great. They love doing the show. You know, so many of them do kids stuff all the time and like all day. And then when they come and get to play around with us, they have a good time reading our stupid dialogue. And Lance, you know, he was on Paradise.
Yeah.
We play Destiny 2 with Lance like every Saturday, which he's also the main character of that game, which is weird hearing his own voice talk to you than hearing him in your headset.
That's cool.
Seeing him as such a serious actor in any drama that he's in. And then hearing him swear and be funny as shit in an animated show. That's pretty cool.
Oh, man, we love working with Lance. Like, that's why we wanted him, because on The Wire, he's so serious. And it's right. Like, if you could get that guy saying, like, ridiculous lines, that would be so funny. And, yeah, he said all the crazy stuff. Like, when he first came on, we're like, I think he's going to quit when he reads the script. He comes to the table read, and we couldn't tell whether he liked it. Like, oh, I think he hates this. But when he got to know us, he would just crack up at the dumbest shit, you know. Right. So we're like, okay, he has basically the same sense of humor we do. He just does a lot of serious roles, which he's great at. But
right,
we love working with him. And yeah, he gets crazy in this show.
Are there any voice actors, regular actors who do voice work too, that you wanted to work with or have been close to getting that you haven't been able to yet?
Mel Brooks. You know, we always wanted to get Mel Brooks, but he always turned us down.
Really? That's shocking.
Well, Roger, you know, we got Mark Hamill and Brickleberry, and he was very excited.
Oh yes, I was a little excited.
Yeah, fanboy out a little bit.
Oh yeah, man.
That was before the new movies, and we tried to get him on Paradise, and he was like, "No thanks, I'm good."
Yeah, I got a nice payday from Disney for the movies. I'm good.
Exactly. Yeah, he's fine. But he was great when he came in, really cool and down to, you know, pretty much do whatever we wanted and sign all Roger's toys too.
That was nice.
Oh, I happen to have a Bespin Fatigue Empire Strikes Back Luke Skywalker in my bag. How'd that get in there?
We had Shatner come into the regular guys once, but I guess this is 2010 maybe or 11. He was doing Dragon Con and he actually came to the studio. Jeff had a communicator from the original series. I turned around and he saw it in my hand and he just goes, no.
He said, no. Oh my God.
Not even no. He just goes, no.
See, that's what George Takei's talking about. Shit like that.
I signed Luke.
See, George, he'll do it. He'll do it.
Musculature.
That feud he has with Shatner is so funny.
I know. I love it. I talked to him about it when I met him. And, Bill, yes, well.
I don't think Shatner even remembers who he is, barely, you know.
You can tell who listens to Sturt. One of my neighbors in Denver is a small black child.
He's right. So great on Stern.
He is great on Stern. He was on. Was he on the last time you were on, Roger?
No. He usually sits in, like, maybe once a month or something. I saw him at Howard's birthday bash, and he's a super, super sweet guy. He's getting up there, man. Like, all those Star Trek guys.
Oh, yeah.
Are there any cast members from the Stern show appearing in Farzar?
Sal and Richard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They're, episode 5 or 6, something like that?
Yeah. Sal plays a zucchini.
Okay.
And he's got one line and he said it 75 times.
I know we were waiting on Howard to play it, but he never did. So
no.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't play it. And Richard is severed head, right? Yeah, he's it's a weird episode.
Is it his real voice or is it Apple?
He's kind of doing like the virus. Remember that prank phone call where he called Gary and he was like, I'm the flu.
Yeah, yeah, shoo shoo, something flu.
Yeah, something flu. So he's kind of the flu voice, yeah.
Okay. Hi, Gary. It's
the Hi, Gary. Yeah. It's his other voice, yeah.
I watched the other day on YouTube, I watched the first appearance where Gary came into the studio. I thought Artie was going to have a heart attack.
that shit was so funny back when Artie was on. I mean, it was just so many great moments. And so entertaining whether Artie was being funny or trying to kill somebody.
Right, right.
He tried to kill Roger a couple times.
Really? Did he get mad at you a couple times for no reason?
Yeah, yeah. You know,
there were reasons.
Oh. Yeah, but you're just roasting him. He's used to that.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of lines that could be crossed.
Artie. We have a great voicemail from Artie where he cusses out Roger.
Oh, yeah?
But then after that, Artie did a benefit when Roger's parents' house, like, blew up or burned down. Artie did a benefit, you know, benefit Roger's parents. That was after the voicemail, you know. So Artie's really hot and cold, you know.
Yeah.
He's kind of disappeared again. He'll come back, do a couple episodes of a podcast, and then go away.
Yeah.
I want him just to do one interview with Howard. I mean, just one more. That would be incredible. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but it would be so awesome if it could.
I don't think Howard likes digging in the dirt like that with a...
No, I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe like last day, you know, I can dream, but it would be incredible.
I'm sorry to keep talking about Howard. I hope you don't mind, but you were on recently promoting the show. So I met high-pitched Eric twice now, once before the pandemic and once after. I went to work one day and he was just sitting at a computer at WSB. And I go, why are you here? I'm friends with Mark Arum. And so I ended up talking to him for quite a while, a couple times. And he seems like a nice guy. Now, there's, again, a video on YouTube, I think, of did he stayed with you at some point, Roger? What's he like to hang out with? I never hung out with him. He's just seems like a nice guy.
Stay with me.
He would still be there.
Yeah, no, we filmed something in place for 4th of July, right, Wico?
In between shows.
Where he had to act like, or no, he didn't act like, he ate like a whole thing of like burger mac and cheese.
Like a gallon of mac and cheese he ate, yeah.
Yeah, and what, was it hot dogs or something?
We were playing like our redneck characters and we were pretending like that he was your cousin, Roger's cousin, in from out of town, and he brought him over to Bobby's house, and he was in just tidy whities and nothing else. But he looked nude because his belly like covered the underwear.
So yeah,
he was funny. Yeah, he's a good sport.
They were more or less props, but he ate the whole thing. And then after we finished filming, he's like, "Let's go to IHOP." So we're taking to IHOP. He orders a fucking stack this tall of red velvet pancakes with syrup and whipped cream. That guy can explode.
One day. All right, my last stern question, because I know these guys have questions too, but it seems that he's been pretty good to you guys, especially, you know, Roger/Yucko. Have you had to tone down your yuccoistic behavior for the modern era? And what's it like to do the show remotely as opposed to in person, being in that studio where it was always such an intimate setting?
Well, as of right now, Yucko lives in a Trader Joe's bag.
Okay.
So, but no, Howard's been great as far as like letting us promote stuff on there. And yeah, I mean, he's just been instrumental, like help, even like Damn Show Days and Stankervision, like he would plug it and, you know, we would sell DVDs all over the country, which was really, really helped us out.
Right.
And able to get an agent and everything like that to sell more stuff. So,
but you can't walk in and do a lot of those jokes you used to do anymore, right?
No, who would?
Shit.
Now, notice that you do have a TikTok for some old Yucko videos.
That's not us.
All of them? There's like 12 of them. That's what I was trying to figure out, which one, if any, were actually you guys.
They're all fakes.
Really? All right.
They have millions of views.
Yes, yes, they do. They have multiple millions of views. Yeah.
Yeah.
You make money off of that if you're a person on TikTok and you get millions of views. Do you get anything for that other than?
I don't know how you make money on TikTok. I guess people are, I don't know why else they'd be on there.
Yeah.
They're not making money, but I don't know. And, you know, with YouTube, they made it easy to take down videos, but it's impossible. You've got to like hire a lawyer or something to get these things down. So, you know. We just let it ride.
Fly to Beijing and ask whoever owns TikTok.
Yeah.
You guys ever do any pop culture conventions? Because we always promote Dragon Con. And with your body of work and your fan base, it would be a huge draw.
We're going to Comic-Con. I mean, not to do a panel, just to go. Because Netflix doesn't really do it. You know, they don't really do conventions. We used to do Comic-Con with Brickleberry every year, have a panel, the whole thing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Come
back and do Dragon-Con or Cusa-Con, which is the new one in Rome, Georgia.
Oh, Rome, Georgia's got their own con?
Yeah. Wow. Cusa-Con. You have to be careful how you say it.
What does that mean, Cusa?
Cusa River, isn't that what they did?
Cusa River runs through there. Are you guys back working in offices? Or are you still doing everything remotely?
We got back in a writer's room like the last, 8 weeks of writing or something like that?
Yeah.
But we wrote 2.5 seasons on Zoom. Like, Farzar was done completely from Roger's duplex in my guest house. We never left. We never saw anyone from start to finish. From writing, animatics, boards, recording the actors, getting the animation, retakes, mixes, all on Zoom, everything. I can't even believe we're able to do it.
Yeah, that's another good thing about animation is like, that was pretty much the only game in town during COVID because, you know, it was hard to do live action stuff, if not impossible.
Right.
But yeah,
the most depressing way to make a show.
Yes.
It's on Zoom.
How do you get the audio quality as good as it is?
They had little kits they would send out to people's homes. Mm-hmm. They get it figured out.
And like Lance Reddick isn't standing in a closet with a sheet.
Seriously. That's true.
Yeah. Now you say the quality is good. I'm not sure if the quality is as good, but I don't think most people can tell, but nothing's as good as going to a booth, you know. But yeah, like Roger said, these actors were in their closets with their clothes behind them to dampen the echo.
Did that make editing and getting the sound design, was there tricks had to be manipulated or you couldn't go straight forward like you
used to? Would try to put some filters on or whatever they do, you know, the engineers. And to me, it sounds just as good for the most part.
But, they're sending like, you know, state-of-the-art equipment out to these people's houses. But yeah, it's like, it was tough, but yeah, they got it all done. Looks great. Sounds great. Like if you didn't know it was recorded in Lance Reddick's closet, you'd never know.
The biggest thing that would drive us crazy is there'd be so many blown takes. Cause in the studio, our engineer would know to ride the button. And if Tom Kenny was whoever was screaming, he would never lose a take. But like half the tapes are just blown because the actor had to control the gain or volume, whatever it is, you know. And if he didn't turn it down before, it was just like completely blown out. So we had a lot of blown takes.
Asking talent to know how to do any of that. I work in radio and I don't know how to do any of that.
it was a challenge. Writing was the toughest part on Zoom. Just everybody talking over each other constantly.
Right.
But our recording was pretty tough too.
So being Athens boys, I wonder if you've heard about this. Any thoughts or fond memories of the Georgia Guidestones?
Never heard of the Georgia Guidestones until they got blown up.
Really?
My wife used to work in Elberton. Roger, had you ever heard of them before?
Was that Nuwapian?
These were things that somebody built in 1979, an anonymous person. And it was all about population control and save the earth. So, you know, conspiracy nuts thought they were
unlike Satan to me.
Yeah. Globalists.
Yeah. That's it. You figured that's it.
That's some devil shit. Hold it up.
Well, somebody finally did and they raised them. It's just funny to see that happen.
It's national news. You know, I'm hearing about it out here.
I'm John Oliver.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we were trying to get in the Athens paper. Like, no, someone blew up these Godstones. We're going to be covering that all week. Like, really? That's going to take a week to cover that?
I wish I'd lived to see it. I hated those ugly fucking
Well, yeah, that, I mean, nobody knows who put them up, right? It's like, it was just kind of a strange message. And probably just to mess with people, if I had to guess. Yeah, which seemed like it finally worked.
Pedophiles, you know, that run the world to put that shit up.
There's a bunch of lizards in Elbert County that put lizard people.
That's right. They have a portal in the middle.
They slid out from under a rock and started stacking them up.
Yep.
Elbert County, the granite capital of the world. Stack it hit up.
They're going to be happy to rebuild those, right? I mean, I'm sure they're going to put them back up now.
I'm probably a mixed-use community. You'll go in there, so you'll be able to go to Jersey Mike's and
just throw another dollar store up in there.
Yeah.
Dollar General.
All this publicity, somebody's going to make money on them.
Oh, hell yeah. What are you guys up to next before we let you go? Because thank you for, by the way, this is a Sunday, so we appreciate you doing it.
Oh, no problem. We've got Paradise PD, the final season coming out December 16th.
Nice.
So that was the other season we wrote on Zoom. So, and then hopefully we'll be working on season 2 of Farzar. We'll see. You know, we should know shortly after premieres. You know, we were pretty good about getting to do the second season. Netflix usually, you know, at least do a couple seasons.
Yeah.
So,
what's the algorithm? Everybody needs to binge the whole thing on the first day?
Definitely by the first week.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to get through the whole thing because that's when it really counts. If you watch just half the first episode and give up on it, then that's a negative.
That won't be a problem.
To try to get through it if you can. It's, you know, we like it. It's funny.
I'm old fashioned and I like the week to week releases. So Netflix, it's difficult for me to binge an entire show in one sitting. But I understand that that's what you got to do now if you want a show that you really love the show and want more of it.
That's right. If you want more of the show, you need to get it watched in about a week. You don't have to do it all in one day,
right?
But even if you don't watch it, just let it play.
Shit, I just watched 6 episodes of Sesame Street, Jeff. You can do it. You know, they talk about the differences between people's hairs and you know, people, why they don't have moms now. They never did that when we were kids, but it's interesting to see.
A whole different show, huh?
Yeah, Cookie Monster's eating avocados. It's weird.
Is he eating? He eats healthy stuff now.
He does. He still eats cookies, but the one we just watched, he had to get in his truck with some little Muppet I've never seen, some monster, and they go to an avocado farm and they make a to the fish sandwich. Okay, Big Bird is stalking the Supreme Court justices now, standing outside. It's funny.
Give everybody a little teaser about what they'll expect when they watch Farzar this week on Netflix.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of twists and turns as we always do. You know, that's another good thing about Netflix is we get to do arcs, which on Brickleberry they just wanted all standalone episodes. So someone would break their neck, and then next episode he's fine. So you know, everything has consequences, and we've written a cool arc for season 1 that's got a lot of twists and turns. You know, we got a lot of our, you know, like got a lot of our humor in it that the fans should like, but you know, we're proud of the story too. Yeah. So and the voice cast is amazing. Like Dana is doing 3 characters and all of them are unique and great. And the entire cast is really good. I mean, it's a dream for us to get to do a sci-fi show, and we really, you know, use every bit of that sci-fi in these 10 episodes. Hopefully people will enjoy it.
That's awesome. Congratulations to you guys. I love the fact that you guys have made it so big and you know, it makes me happy. And plus the stuff that you do is funny. So that's really cool.
Cool. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
July 15th.
Yeah. Say when it's on, Jeff.
July 15th, Netflix. Cool. Yep. Watch them all the first day or the first.
Yeah, week. Watch them first day. Let them play.
Look at that algorithm, I guess.
We're all at the mercy of the algorithm.
And the Godstones.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget that shit, man. I mean, they're gone now, but we can build them.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
All right. See you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. See you, Roger.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.